case for this morning, which is Citadel Group versus Washington Reed. Mr. Anderson?
May it please the Court, John Anderson for the appellant, Citadel Group Limited. Your Honors, this is a suit by Citadel against Washington Regional to recover for expenses for the financing and development of a medical office building in Arkansas pursuant to a written contract between the parties. Basically, the lower court found that it did not have jurisdiction because it found that the activities in Illinois that are outlined in our briefs were of administrative nature and were insubstantial, and therefore did not give basis to jurisdiction in Illinois under a performance in Illinois standard. I think there's two problems with the district court's ruling. First, factual, and second, legal. First, as to the district court's findings that the activities in Illinois were administrative and insubstantial, this contract was designed for not just construction of a building in Arkansas, but also for development and all that the development entails, including financing. And here there was a very special type of financing. What happened was that Washington Regional was to give a ground lease to Citadel. Citadel then would finance the actual construction by issuing high-grade commercial paper in a public market. The commercial paper was high-grade because it was backed by a letter of credit by a national bank, which in turn Washington Regional would give a what's called a reimbursement agreement to the bank to back up the letter of credit. The advantage is by going in commercial paper, you get a much lower interest rate than a standard mortgage. For example, if a standard mortgage would be at 8%, commercial paper would be at 5%. And whereas here there was a total project development budget, first during the summer of 05, before the project went going, of $6 million that grew to $9 million, a 3% difference becomes substantial, over $250,000 on a $9 million project. And the advantage then to Washington Regional would be that its lease payments back to Citadel, which had the ground lease and had built the building, would be substantially less. And that was why financing was such an important part of this project. I think that it's borne out by, first, the exhibits to the complaint. In Exhibit C, in June 2005, a little over 2 months before the contract was signed between the parties, Washington Regional issued a very specific request for a budget to Citadel. Citadel responded, which is Exhibit D to the complaint. It's docket number 37. It's also Exhibit 7 to docket number 13, the Varwig affidavit. And that budget showed that the original budget in the summer, 2 months before the contract was signed, was a total of $6.2 million for the development, $4.9 million for the actual hard construction costs, and the balance of about $1.2 million for soft costs, including the financing and putting together this whole special financing package, which involved the commercial paper notes, a Standard & Poor's rating, a reimbursement agreement by a national bank, and all the attributes of this special arrangement to get the lower financing, to get the lower lease rates, which would benefit Washington Regional. This was called out in the original proposal letter, where Citadel specifically stated that it had special financing and tried to reduce the financing cost of the transaction so that it would be more advantageous for Washington Regional. Then, as the parties negotiated, beginning in September 2005 through the spring of 2006, by March of 2006, the budget had become about $9 million. And this is Exhibit 25 to docket number 13. And at that point, the construction costs were approximately $6 million, and the soft costs, which involved the special financing, were $3 million. And so my point is that this financing and this special financing, from a purely factual standpoint here, was a very significant factor in this project. This project was not, as the district court found, simply construction of a building. It was actually a very specialized building. It was like a custom building designed to Washington Regional's needs, backed up by a very special financing program that was the subject of the long negotiations. You've seen the detailed affidavits with the numerous exhibits. There's like 30 exhibits. As it came ready for closing, just before the transaction was canceled, there were up to 60 documents to document all the respective relationships of the parties.
Well, and this is going in two directions. These are clearly bilateral communications,
right.
Unilateral communications.
Correct.
The language of the case.
There were numerous conversations over the phones as these kind of transactions were negotiated, which is standard in this type of deal. So I think the district court was wrong by finding that what was going on in Illinois was purely administrative and was insubstantial.
It wasn't consequential to Washington Regional, though, where that took place, was it?
No, it was not. But it knew it was occurring here, and Washington Regional participated in that occurrence and performance here. And that's why we think that its involvement in the performance here to such a detailed extent over such a long period of time, here many months, for such an obvious benefit is what distinguishes this case from part two of what I was going to cover, namely the legal issues.
Would you describe again, I know you've done it in your brief, but describe again the nature of the negotiations, that is, face-to-face, phone conversations. How do these negotiations take place?
They were not face-to-face. They were over the phone and by fax and email back between the parties.
Not even a closing? What about the closing?
The closing never occurred because Washington Regional canceled it just as it was about ready to close.
But there was a meeting in
There was an early Arkansas meeting in where the Citadel went to Arkansas and met with Washington Regional to go over the project early on, very early on.
That was sort of a pitch meeting or something?
Right. And then I think the key fact is that pitch meeting was followed up by the documents I've referenced, namely 2 months before the contract signed, a detailed request from Washington Regional as to what Citadel would do, and then a detailed response on the financing arrangements and the budget. And I think that's what distinguishes this from the two cases that Citadel's, or Washington Regional cites, namely Lakeside and SunGard. In SunGard, which is the one the district court cited, there were to be disaster services performed in Tennessee. And so all the services would be performed in Tennessee. That's not the case here. A very substantial part of the project, namely the financing, was performed here in Illinois with detailed involvement by Washington Regional. The other case that Washington Regional relies on is Lakeside, which was a case where simply some structural assemblies were fabricated in Wisconsin and sent to Virginia for a dam and reservoir project. Here, again, it's different from Lakeside. There was a lot of activity in Illinois for a very big part of this whole contractual arrangement. And I think this case probably is closer to Madison Consulting, where the Seventh Circuit ruled there was jurisdiction. And in Madison Consulting, there was some economic consulting by a firm for a project in a dam in South Carolina. And the court held there was jurisdiction in Illinois. Here there was detailed involvement by Washington Regional with a very important part of the development project, which is the subject of this party's contract. And I think that's pointed out best also by Judge Lefkoe's opinion.
But in her case, though, that was a refinancing of an existing structure
Correct.
In Washington or Oregon or something?
Yes, it was in Oregon.
That was a building that had already been built and was subsequently being financed.
Correct, Your Honor. However, the financing part and the way the financing unfolded between the parties in the Judge Lefkoe case was exactly what happened here between Citadel and Washington Regional. And so the financing part here is virtually the same as what happened there, a very customized financing arrangement negotiated by the parties. And I think that's why the Judge Lefkoe decision is so pertinent here. And her findings, too, about how this is how these types of transactions are normally done, namely by fax, email, and conference calls, how in that case, Merle West knew that Citadel would be doing the activities here and participated in them. And the other factor cited by Judge Lefkoe, and that's why we feel it's more accurate as to what actually happened between the parties. If you have no further questions, I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Mr. Tomlinson?
May it please the Court. My name is Michael Tomlinson, and I represent the appellee in this case, Washington Regional. This case is about a one-time transaction that was to take place in Arkansas for an Arkansas nonprofit corporation. You heard in Mr. Anderson's argument, he was very careful to talk about the activities that took place. As this court has found in RAR and is required to do under Burger King, the district court looked solely to the defendant's contacts. Those are the relevant contacts for the personal jurisdiction analysis. And here, the only contacts that Citadel points out are that Washington Regional provided a very generic request for proposal in May of 2005. Citadel then responded with a very specific proposal. Washington Regional also provided a $40,000 good faith deposit, which it mailed from Arkansas. And as Judge Schindler recognized, there was a one-time meeting face-to-face in Arkansas between these parties. The rest of the negotiations took place by phone with Washington Regional in Arkansas and Citadel in Chicago. The parties did negotiate over the summer of 2005, but they were able to agree on one thing: the construction of the medical office building in Arkansas. That is what is memorialized in the one-paragraph contract that forms the entire basis of this case. The financing and the lease transactions, which admittedly were part of the initial request for proposal, were not agreed to at the time. You heard Mr. Anderson say the negotiations began in 2005 after the authorization was to proceed. And even those negotiations took place intentionally on Washington Regional's part over the phone, by mail, fax, etc. This court should affirm the district court's opinion here because the district court engaged in the proper analysis. It analyzed the contacts I just spoke about, which did involve a one-time transaction. The district court then found that those...
What was the import of the authorization to proceed?
Well, the import...
The authorization to proceed with the consulting services that were part of the contract.
It was the authorization...
would be performed in Chicago, right?
Well, it is, but
And you sent that authorization to Citadel in Chicago.
We did send it to Citadel in Chicago, but the contacts that Citadel undertook in hiring the Illinois banks and the Illinois attorneys are Citadel's unilateral actions. If you look at the complaint
you
in paragraph...
You authorize them and ask that they be performed on your behalf. Why isn't that enough to sustain personal jurisdiction?
Because, as Judge Tinder pointed out, it was inconsequential to Washington Regional whether Citadel performed those activities in Illinois.
That doesn't matter.
It does matter under the personal jurisdiction.
You sent them the authorization. You said, go ahead and do it. Here's a bunch of money. You know, that is a retention of this Chicago firm to perform development consulting services for you in Chicago. You knew they were going to be done in Chicago. The fact that it was inconsequential to you where they would be performed doesn't really factor in. You knew that they were located here. This is where they did business, and this is where the consulting services that you were asking be performed in your behalf were being performed.
We knew that Citadel was...
Is that unfair to cause you to litigate here?
The purpose of this entire transaction was to build a medical office building in Arkansas.
But there was more to it than that. It was not just a construction contract.
It was initially.
It was a consulting contract.
They had not... The one-paragraph authorization here is all that the parties had agreed to. They agreed to negotiate further with regard to the leases. And those negotiations continued on. In the affidavits, from Mr. Barwick, you see that there were negotiations going on as late as April of 2006 with drafts of leases going back and forth. They had not agreed to anything with regard to those leases yet.
Well, what did the request for proposal say?
The request for proposal did ask for a proposal with regard to ground leases and space leases. However, the parties were unable to agree on that with regard to the authorization at issue. The authorization at issue said that Citadel would be a project manager. And importantly, as they admit in their complaint at paragraph 8, they were to be reimbursed for the expenses they incurred through their activities in going towards completion. Citadel was to be reimbursed by Washington Regional. Citadel's contacts were in Illinois, and its acts in hiring banks and accountants and lawyers here were its own. In fact, as Ms. Hutchison stated in her affidavit, Washington Regional asked for certain banks to be used from Arkansas, but was assured that costs would be lower if it maintained its relationship with Citadel. And so they went forward.
Authorized Citadel to go forward with its Chicago people.
They'd authorized Citadel to go forward with its project management over the building to be constructed in Arkansas.
Using the legal services and the banking services and so forth, financial services located in Chicago.
As far as Washington Regional was concerned, it was inconsequential whether those happened here. And in fact, Citadel did not hire only Illinois.
What's important is whether you authorized it, and therefore it's fair to hail you into court in Chicago, to use the language of the case law under the long-arm statute.
As this court recognized in RIR, what is important for the personal jurisdiction analysis is the defendant's contacts with the forum, not the unilateral acts that the plaintiff took in performing its side of the contract. Were it otherwise, there would be no personal jurisdiction analysis to be performed. It would run roughshod over the personal jurisdiction analysis. Everyone would be amenable to personal jurisdiction everywhere. And I'm saying that's close to where we're at anyway, but...
That is close to where we're at in a technological age when communication is, you know, worldwide.
But the fact of the matter is that we still do have personal jurisdiction, and it is unfair for Washington Regional, which is a regional hospital that operates only in Arkansas, to be held in a court in Illinois over a building that was supposed to be built in Arkansas. That was the thrust and the only purpose of this transaction. And Judge Lefkow's opinion, she pointed out that was for an existing medical office building, and there was an ongoing relationship that had been contemplated by the parties. The deal in that case was the leasing and the financing transaction. That was not the deal here yet. And the parties, in fact, here never got there. They had agreed only to negotiate further. The authorization does memorialize an agreement to negotiate further, but it does no more. The parties agreed to build a medical office building in Arkansas. Citadel took steps along that path of its own performance of that authorization in Illinois. Those are the relevant contacts. Citadel's contacts in Illinois are not relevant. The personal jurisdiction analysis requires the court to focus on those contacts.
Well, what are we to make of your client's authorization to proceed, which specifically said that your client would be responsible for the legal expenses and other costs associated with the project development, which sounds a lot broader than it's only about a building in Arkansas?
I think we can look to Citadel's own complaint for guidance on that fact. Washington Regional's responsibility was to reimburse Citadel for any activities it may have taken, but it didn't matter to Washington Regional where Citadel performed that. If by being a project manager, Citadel had the primary relationships, and in fact formed those primary relationships with banks in Illinois and presumably in other states, although it's unclear from their complaint. That the reimbursement by Washington Regional is the important part to recognize with regard to that clause that they cite, that part of the authorization. And I think it's also important to note that Washington Regional is not asking is not saying that Citadel cannot litigate their case. They're simply saying that this case should be litigated in the proper forum where there is personal jurisdiction over Washington Regional. And this case will be litigated. However, that proper forum should be in the Western District of Arkansas. And therefore, if the even we ask that the panel, that the court affirm the district court's decision. But if it were to reverse the district court decision, we ask to remand with instructions to consider the fairness of the parties and the motion to transfer that we filed along with this motion to dismiss. There are no questions, I think. Thank you. Thank you
very much, Mr. Thomas. Mr. Anderson, you have 1 minute.
Your Honor, I think this was not a one-time transaction. As Judge Lefkoe pointed out at page 10 of her opinion, there was going to be a 30-year lease relationship between the parties. It also was not a generic RFP issued by Washington Regional. As I mentioned earlier, Exhibit C to the complaint was a request for a detailed, specific budget. Exhibit D to the complaint shows that initial budget before the contract was even signed. Washington Regional reached out for those specifics. As Judge Lefkoe also pointed out at page 10 of her decision, this type of transaction is normally subject to mail and fax. Here we have something beyond just a normal contract relationship. We have a very customized, specialized building, which is shown by the fact that the budget went from $6 million to $9 million over the course of 8 months, which is not unusual as a specialized building of this nature, which will have outpatient surgery, goes forward. It was a very specialized financing arrangement to give a very substantial advantage to Washington Regional, as I showed you when I made the quick arithmetic before. Excuse me, Your Honor. My time is up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. Excellent arguments. We'll